Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my channel. My name is Marcy Melzer, and I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and language facilitation coach and consultant. And here on the Waves of Communication channel, I equip and empower parents and caregivers all over the world to connect with the children in your life who are not talking yet, and facilitate the speech as well as the social skills and the educational readiness and all the stuff that you need, right, to be successful in the world. And we know that there are lots of kids that aren't talking yet. And I'm here to let you know that there are so many ways for you to facilitate better spoken language. However, most parents are choosing methods that are not working for you. And I want to help you get on the right track. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I don't want to call you out and tell you you're doing anything wrong. I want to give you the opportunity to change today, because what we're talking about today is a super serious and super, it's super serious because this kind of change can make the most massive difference for your child. And it's this. It's this situation about prompting your child. So what happens is whenever children are late to develop things, and you know they're late because you've been in some kind of a test or evaluation or environment somehow where, sorry, my cat's talking to us in the background, where someone has told you that your child is behind or late, or maybe you've even gotten a diagnosis or things like that. And that's the only thing that people can give you, these professionals can give you, is a diagnosis and these structured therapies. And the reality is there is so much you can be doing at home that are different than those things that get better results. So what we're going to be talking about today, I'm just going to fly right into what I've got for you, because it's really important that we dig into this topic. And it is this situation that prompting won't help. I know it gives you something to do. It gives you something to react about, how to engage with your child. It's what the therapists do and all of that. So before we get into it really quick, I want to thank you for helping me reach 6,000 subscribers on YouTube, everybody. And so what we're really going to be talking about is sort of comparing your child's experience when they're in these evidence-based prompting kind of situations and what you want from them. Because I know that many of you are watching this because you are not so convinced that this prompting that you're seeing therapists doing, that you're watching in ABA, and that you might even be doing yourself is actually working. Maybe one or the other of the partners in this child's parenting situation are the prompter, and that kind of thing. And so the reason that it happens, you guys, is because this evidence-based, data-driven therapy methods, such as ABA, and this is what is being sold to you if you have a child who is been diagnosed with anything. You're being sold evidence-based, data-driven therapy methods, such as ABA. And these methods rely on prompted responses to show progress. That's why they're data-driven and they're always collecting data. And you see, many parents and caregivers also rely on prompted responses as your own evidence that the child is advancing. Like, how do you know they're doing any better unless you prompt them? And the reality, folks, is that unfortunately, these prompt-based tactics used by therapists, teachers, caregivers, and parents, it often backfires. And that is because these tactics, when they're used in the way that I'm going to be talking about today, it fails to consider the child's feelings. And in reality, folks, what we're doing here is we are asking children to change. We're asking them to give up the communication behaviors that are working for them right now. Their whatever they're using, their limited vocabulary, their gestures, they're dragging you around, all of those things are working for this child, but you know they're not functional and they're behind where the child's supposed to be for their age, for the environment, for the grade, for whatever. You know this stuff. And remember, these things, you know, you're trying really hard to get the child to catch up because you know they're behind. But remember, if we don't consider the child's feelings, they won't make improvement. So here's what I want you to do right now is considering that all behavior is communication. Think about the behavior, the communication behavior that your child is using. How is your child responding to the prompts and demands that they hear from the adults in their world? And this is very important that you take a moment to think about how your child is responding to the current plan that you have right now. And if you see facial expressions or behaviors similar to what these children are showing, remember, these children do not have the language to communicate frustration, restriction, judgment, annoyance, and boredom. They don't know how to tell you when they are feeling these things. And if you ignore these very clear communications that you see both of these children doing, here's the child who's on the left, who's not in any kind of structured anything, but so frustrated, surrounded by toys. I don't know how to play. I don't know what to do. Maybe the child was told to clean up or do, and they don't know. They're just done with the situation. In these cases, these are the feelings that you see here. And then this is what happens with prompt avoidance and with prompt dependence. And with prompt avoidance, you see the others. You see fear and anxiety and depression and exhaustion and stress. And these are the behaviors that the child is using. They're actually using these intentional communication behaviors. And you see how I've got this red and green arrow here on the left? This little boy is shifting on a dime. He can be calm 1 minute in that annoyance or fear, anxiety, and then switch automatically to this aggressive, agitated sort of facial expression from, I don't know what to do with myself, to stop making me do things, right? It could be switching back and forth. You could see this mood change. Consistently unresolved feelings. And this is consistently, meaning it happens over and over again. And I'm telling you that these things don't happen overnight. They come from habits of the way that people have been connecting, teaching, guiding, facilitating, therapizing, whatever you want to call it, the interaction, the intervention that has been applied to this child has not considered their feelings. If in fact you see these two, one of these two situations, and they could flip back and forth between them depending on the kind of situation. So the boy on the left has prompt dependence, which is learned helplessness. He's in the middle of the mess, like that little girl in the middle of the toys, just holding her head. He's not asking for a towel. He's not going to get his own towel. He's just standing there wet and soapy, and I don't know what to do. And the look on his face is, I don't know what to do. Someone jump in and help me. Because this child has been prompted into learned helplessness. And the boy on the right is just over it. He knows exactly what is being expected of him. He knows exactly what's being prompted, but he has chosen to avoid it because he doesn't like it, and he is strategically looking to escape from that experience. So that's what happens. Let's get into what I'm going to do now. Is I'm going to talk about prompt dependence first and then prompt avoidance. And we're going to talk about what it is and what causes it. And then also the signs that your child is stuck in that situation. And we're going to start here with prompt dependence. And prompt dependence happens when kids are stuck in the mindset, right? This is their habit, their way of being. Their mind is set on waiting for someone to tell them what to do or say. And how does this happen? Why does this happen? This happens because there's six reasons I have for you on this next slide as it moves over here. And here it is. So what you're going to be looking for is these six signs that your child has been over-prompted into lack of their own ability to take their own action. Number one, child hears more prompting than natural language. Someone who has spent enough time with this child, more than 2 or 3 hours a day, is doing this. Telling them to do things or say things instead of giving them things to learn from. That's number one. Number two is lack of freedom to explore and take risks. They're strapped in chairs. They're kept inside. They're limited in their environment. They're limited to their friends. They don't have the opportunity to go and get dirty and fall down and skin their knee and all that stuff that kids need to learn from. That's been restricted away from them because people don't trust these kids in their freedom. They don't trust them to be safe. They don't trust them to be learning. They don't trust them to pay attention. So they lock them down and force them to do things. Number three, guided through every activity hand over hand. If you are touching, chasing down, or manipulating your child's body to do things by touching them, this is what's happening. It's happening too much. Number four, the child's involvement in household planning is limited. You do things every day, and you plan new things and you do all that without the child's involvement in the preparation, the planning, the cleanup, the buying the goods, all the stuff, the gathering the materials, all of that stuff is happening without the child's involvement. They show up to an activity, they're prompted through the activity, they leave the activity, and someone else does the cleanup. That's number four. Number five, child's independent ways of acting are discouraged. So maybe your child wants to stand up when they're writing, or they want to jump, or they want to run, or they want to stand on the sink when they brush their teeth, or, you know, who knows what they want to do their own way, but it's not the way you do it, but it still gets the job done, right? It's just a different way, but that's shut down because it's the facilitator's way or no way. And that's what number five is. And number six is limiting the language that you use with the child, which means that if you are speaking two languages in your home and you're speaking Spanish or Hindi or whatever to your mom or your uncle or your partner or anybody else, and you're restricting your child from learning that language, or you're only giving your child the opportunity to label things. What's this? What's this? What's this? And if you limit the language that you use with the child, then the child will not learn anymore. These are the six causes of prompt dependence. And then now we're going to move into these are the signs. So even if you don't, folks, even if you don't believe that you're doing this very much, you only do it sometimes, or you think that therapy has taught your child so much, they've learned so much from the therapy, and you just don't want to stop it because even though maybe they don't need it anymore, like they already learned those things, but now they're stuck in the prompting, like they never faded it out. Everybody's still always doing for the child, because when you do for the child gets things done. And then you can say, look, I made him do X, Y, and Z. I got him to do. I did whatever. It wasn't he did it on his own because I offered a nice opportunity and trained him ahead, right? You see the difference? So think about what you've been doing, and these are the signs that it's been happening. Number one, your child only knows, they might know many, but they only know labels, colors, numbers, shapes, names of people, you know. And then number two, those words are always spoken in the same scripted way. They don't know how to use them any other way than I want X, or give me X, or open X, or all done X, or X all done. And they could be even, you know, using these things to prompt you. That's the number four. But number three is they only speak. They only use these words when they're prompted to respond. When they're on their own, they might be doing some jargon or other kinds of things, but they don't talk to you unless you are prompting them. It's because that's what you taught them, is this is what's expected of you. talk time is when I bring the flashcards out, right? That's what these children believe because that has been their experience. Okay. Now, this number four is they use your own words to prompt you. So the child will say, do you want ice cream? Right. When they want ice cream. Do you want to go outside? You know, they'll ask you questions and use your own words. I think it's time. Right. If you use that, I think it's time to eat snacks right now. After we do the whatever, we'll do the thing. Even if they're not, it might be related to what's going on, but it's not accurate. And they're the exact same words that you have been saying. Let's sit down. Next is this, blah, 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 in the box. You know, all those things that you are saying, if they are directions and prompts, then your child will be imitating those, right? Because there are other things that you could be teaching them, but you're not. Because you are stuck in it, getting excited about the performance you get when you do this prompting. So you keep at it. That's why the therapists do it. They like the data they collect when they say, you know, do this and the child does it and they get a tick, right? The more ticks you get, the better the therapist looks. Like, I made him do it. And that's in fact true. All this prompting is completely your effort. You're the one making the outcome happen. Your outcome, your way. That's why you're disappointed if when you prompt something, it doesn't happen. Because it's all about what you're seeing. Remember, we're not considering the child's feelings or even their learning, you see, because so much of this time that you are prompting them to do it again or say it longer or do it more or whatever, after they've already performed something, you prompt the additional response or you continue to do it even after you know they've learned it, you still put your hands on the child. You're never giving them the freedom or opportunity to try and fail and learn from their mistakes and all of that stuff because you are so heavily prompting them. Okay. And that's what's going to happen here, you see. So these kids will not begin a task without a prompt. Number five, they won't even start the thing. That's the learned helplessness I was talking about. Even if a child knows how to do it very well, even with the prompt, they will do it poorly. They will do it poorly. They won't perform their best. And they won't do it without you prompting and assisting and helping and saying this, 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 because that's the habit. And then number six is they shut down and they appear unable to perform. Like I said, even if they know how to do it, they will appear completely unable to perform. And so that's a prompt dependence. Now we're going to talk about prompt avoidance. And sometimes they call this pathological demand avoidance or oppositional defiance or, you know, there's other names. But what we're talking about here is when kids are stuck in the mindset. Remember, their mind is set on either fighting against the intervention that's coming at them or escaping from it. Fight or flight. Okay. And this is the intervention, folks, that you have paid for, spent money on, time on, effort on, learning on, all this stuff. You have made a big investment in this prompting intervention that you are doing. Even if you're doing it yourself, you decided this is what I'm going to do. You've wasted or spent, you whatever, your time doing this. And this is the result that you're getting is this prompt avoidance. And it happens because let's look at six reasons that I also have that this prompt avoidance begins. Okay. So the prompt, the other one is more about restricting of environments. This is more about the pressure, right? So number one, kids with prompt avoidance have been repeatedly, consistently over and over and over, over a period of time, more than a few months. Even a few weeks, it starts. But if it's happened for more than 3 months, this kid is out of the habit of learning naturally. And that's because they have been repeatedly expected to do things they don't want to do. In the jargon, they call it unpreferred activities or least preferred activities. We got to do it, but you don't want to, right? And this is because they've been repeatedly expected to do them anyway. Even if they don't want to. The reason they don't want to is ignored because it has to happen. And we're talking about children here, okay? Number two, consistent consequences of doing it wrong. So whenever they make a mistake, give you less than you want, whatever, they hear the no, don't stop. They hear the negatives. They hear the whatever. They know exactly what those consequences are and they don't want to have them. So they will avoid you because they get more consequences than they get positives. Number three, they are exhausted from being led and prompted. They're done with it. All of this over and over and over and over. Why do I have to do it 10 times? All of this business, okay? And not providing teaching. Number four is to not provide teaching time or assistance that the child needs. Sometimes parents give kids toys and they take home the toy and they open it up and then they leave it with the child. They don't help them learn how to play. They don't play together with them, or they just introduce new things. Or maybe because this has happened, whenever you do buy a new toy, the child just takes it and goes because they can't have anything new and explore it on their own. They have to do it your way. Right? So if you haven't provided teaching time or assistance they need, they will find it elsewhere and avoid you because you're making life hard. You're setting them up to fail, putting them in situations that they haven't had the training for. And that's it. You can't just expect kids to perform without giving them time and space and teaching. Number five, their personal needs have not been met before teaching. Like I said, maybe they prefer to stand. Maybe they need a drink. Maybe they have to go to the bathroom. Maybe they don't like sitting in one place. Maybe they don't like doing things over and over and over again. Their personal needs have not been met, okay? Any of them, all of them, even their mental health needs, right, have not been met before teaching. And number six is their experience offered. Whatever you're giving them is non-functional and unhelpful. They don't understand why they're matching colors over and over again. They don't understand why they have to label all those 50 flashcards over and over and over again. They don't understand when you do these things and it just makes them annoyed, right? Because remember, we talked about those feelings. You will see the evidence, folks. They will communicate with you through their behavior, frustration, annoyance, fear, anger, frustration that you are not giving them enough, that all you're giving them is the same old, and you're treating them like a baby instead of a big kid because you're helping them or forcing them or manipulating them or keeping them down until they perform. Okay. And if we keep things easy enough, eventually the child will perform. That's not, it's counterintuitive, folks. So let's look at the signs that you've been pushing too hard. And if it hasn't been you, it's been the therapist or the nanny or whoever is spending, like I said, at least 2 or 3 hours a day with a child, because that's the level of pressure it takes to have a child completely give up their independence and fall 100% into everyday problem solving, traumatic, dramatic, never ending problem solving. And that these are the signs. Okay. Number one, the speech you hear from the child, they might have those labels, but you might hear more jargon speech, which is blah, 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 you don't understand, or sort of gobbledygook with words in mixed in the middle like that. That's jargon speech. Echolalia is phrases that they learned again from songs and videos, things like that. They'll use whole phrases. They'll do these whole things, but they won't share them with you. They're using these things because they learned them elsewhere, because they are not learning from you. Whatever you give them is not functional or exciting or nice for them or useful for them. So they're going to learn it from the places that they like. Number two, nonverbal communication advances quickly. These kids will just quit talking and start to use all their nonverbal stuff. Because if you are hand over hand touching this child, making them do things, they will start to do the same to you. So they will start to touch you. They'll take your hands and put it on things. They'll push you. They'll physically pull you into a room, right? Because this is what happens to them. People pick them up and manhandle them and make them go places and do things, okay? And so they will turn around and do it to you. Number three, sign of prompt avoidance is refusal response to any kind of guidance. Like you hear more no directed to you than you hear any other language. So it doesn't matter if you're offering to take them out for ice cream or you're offering to do whatever, you've already lost this child's trust. So they're not going to trust you and you're going to hear a lot of no. Number four, they never ask for assistance or share their stuff. right? So if they, I just did a video with a little guy, a video analysis with a little guy, and they showed me the video of the boy going to the fridge to get the chocolate milk. He got one of those ones in the bottle and he couldn't get it open because it had that little peel thing on the top, the little peel sting. And he couldn't get it off. So he was using his teeth and, you know, biting on that top thing. And of course, the parents saw him because he went in the vicinity of the parents, but he didn't go to them to ask them for help because this particular family is doing a lot of heavy duty prompting, severe prompting, to the point where dad took away the chocolate milk, opened it for the child, and then held it back to say open in order to get, because this child can say single words. And if that sort of scenario is happening in your life, because remember, these kids are going to do things their way because they're not going to come to you for help because they don't trust that it won't be a lecture and some prompted experience that they've got to go through. This little boy just wanted chocolate milk, right? And he doesn't know how to ask because his parents haven't taught him how to ask. Right? Or the I want whatever just isn't any interest to him anymore because he's avoidant. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to go through this. Every time he wants something to eat or drink, he doesn't want to have to go through a lesson, right? That's exhausting and frustrating and annoying to a lot of kids when parents do this all day. And so they'll turn it around on you and just be annoyed with you. And they won't ask you for assistance or share their stuff or bring you good things because all you do is give them work in response. And number five is they become sneaky. They steal things that you put out of reach that they're not supposed to have, and they know they're not supposed to have it. They escape from you. They break the rules. They push the envelope. They push your buttons all the time. And then number six is they melt down frequently. They yell. They get aggressive. They get dramatic. They turn on a dime. Like I said, that could happen. They could be fine. And as soon as you say, let's go and do whatever or come with me, they lose it. Okay. So now what I want to explain to you, I want to show you on the next slide. I've got eight of the most common prompting tactics that result in either prompt avoidance or prompt dependence. And that's because they work really well. They work really well, you guys. These things get kids to spew out words. They get them to say things. And when you do it in the right place, the right time, in front of the right thing, when the child is happy, you see all kinds of output from the child. You hear all kinds of stuff by doing these things. That's why I'm telling you they work. They work, but they only work to a certain level, right? They work to get performance, but on the other hand, it backfires because your child, it's too limited. And who, none of you, I know I couldn't do it. Who can sustain not just your own communication, but your child's? So every time they have to communicate something, are you going to be there to help interpret for them, to communicate it for them? To explain it for them, because that's what you're setting yourself up for. If you keep doing things for and prompting this output from your child, you're never teaching them how to independently facilitate, develop the speech and social skills they need. They're always waiting, stuck waiting or avoiding the next incoming, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Do this, do this, do this. Do it my way. Do it this way. Do it that way. And then you get a good job. Okay. So, here are the habits. How many are you doing? Let's take a look. Number one, you ask your child a lot of yes, no questions. Maybe there are a lot of do you want, do you this, do you that, do you, you know, questions. That's the yes, no response. Yes, no response. Your kids can't answer these questions, right? Like I said, they work to a certain point. Number two, you withhold objects till your child talks. We talked about that with the chocolate milk experience. Number three, you sing the same songs over and over and over and over and over, right? Number four, you ask questions that you already know the answer to. This is a big, big frustration for a lot of kids. I just wanted to take a break from the list to tell you about this one, because it's so common that people do it without thinking. We're going to talk in a minute about unconscious prompting and how you could be in the habit of doing this without even realizing that you're doing it. And that's what this video is all about, everybody. Once you learn what you're doing and how you're doing this stuff that you think is working so great is actually backfiring, it gives you the opportunity to change what you're doing and get a different result, because you're watching this video because your child is stuck in resistance. Okay. And we got to get them out of that resistance. So we got to stop doing these things, even though they work. Okay. So asking questions, that's number four. You already know the answer to. Number five is you use the fill in the blank phrases like cow says, you know, or what does cow say? That's another question that, remember, you already know the answer to. There's no reason for you to ask what does, what is, where is, none of that. There's no reason for you to ask any of those questions. What is that? Your child knows it's a dog. You know it's a dog. There's better ways, okay? Now, you ask your child to repeat words over and over. That's just a no-brainer. You know if you're doing it or not. Number seven, ask your child to expand their words into sentences. Maybe they're using, you know, mama, 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 and you want them to say mama come. Or they're saying juice, 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 and you want them to say I want juice or something like that. This is not needed. None of these prompting tactics, yes, they work, but they are not needed. They just make therapists look good in the moment, but they do not teach your kids long term. They backfire. They backfire. Okay. And number eight is you ask your child to point to, label, or describe objects or pictures. So if you're doing any of these eight things, there are things that you can change, right? And look at this. This is the business about unconscious prompting, because so many videos, listen, I do video analysis. Let me pull back here. I do video analysis. This is how I work with families. They send me videos of what they're doing with their kids, how they're interacting. And I observe two things. I observe what the parents are saying in the environment, and I observe how is the child responding. And if I see any of those facial expressions or body language or literal events where I see the parent taking over the situation, prompting through it, getting the outcome that they want because they're showing off for me on videos or whatever, it doesn't matter even if they're showing off, this is happening. And it's happening so often that so many of these videos I get, literally, if I counted 100 sentences out of the 6 to 10 videos parents send me, and I could count 100 sentences that they said to the child, 98 of them would be questions. It's that many that's happening. That much time that parents are using questions and prompts instead of spoken language that children need. Okay, so here's how it looks. Nearly every sentence, this is unconscious prompting that's happening anyway. You're in the habit, you're stuck. I'm calling you out so that you can change. If nearly every sentence you say is a question or demand, then you need to be saying different things. And number two here, for some activities, you assume that the child will be unable or unwilling to respond without your prompt. But other things, you taught them one time and they learned immediately. But there are still some things that you cannot keep your hands off your child. And you cannot stop chasing them because you have not taught them how to be safe. You haven't taught them how to do it better. They're stuck in your prompt dependence. That's some activities, right? Some activities your child won't, they will never get done unless you manhandle your child. And that's a problem. That's a problem. This third one here is that you constantly say no, don't, or stop more often than you model the correct behavior of speech. So now we're hearing questions and we're hearing negatives, no, don'ts, and stops. And that means, again, because you haven't trained your child ahead. And number four here is you continue to prompting even through your child's cries, escape, tantrums, and resistance. You ignore their behavior, and you continue to make them do things. If they're pulling away from you, if they're fighting with you, they might not even be crying, but they're literally not looking at you. Okay? And then here's the other one, if you're unconscious prompting. Later on, when you lay your head on the pillow after you've yelled at your child or prompted them to do whatever and you didn't get the response you wanted, you feel guilty for yelling or fighting with your child. Okay. So if you feel these things, that means that you're farther into this experience than you believe. Okay. So now what I want to do is I want to give you some tools. Okay. Just like always, I show you why things are happening. And I don't do it, like I said, to make you feel guilty or bad or negative about your experience. You did the best you could. And those prompting things work. I know that's why people pick them up, because they work. It was all what they taught us in therapy school, right? All of those things on that list are what therapists do with kids. Why? Because they only have a very limited time with the child. Limited time. And those who have all day and they're doing those things, like the ABA people who have 6 hours a day with your child, and they're all day long prompting, 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 prompting. And then they go home and the ABA people say, at home, you've got to do it too. So now you're prompting too at home. When does your kid get a break? And how would you feel about that, right? It's time for change. You need to change your child's experience if you want to get out of prompt dependence and prompt avoidance, okay? So now I'm gonna show you how to do that. Here's those signs again of that unconscious prompting. But here's what we need to do. We need to get conscious about this. You need to think about what is happening here. What are we doing? What are we doing? So let's see, hang on a second. Let's get back to this. So the first thing you have to do is to replace questions and prompts with slow speech models in full sentences that are fun and familiar and age appropriate. Okay. So that's the first thing you have to do. You can't keep doing those prompts. I know they work, but you gotta shift. You have to shift. And then number two is you explore toys, books, and even everyday activities from your child's perspective with patience and trust. Okay. So it's the child's perspective that's been missing in this whole prompting situation. And that's what will get you back. I promise you, that's what will get you back. And number three is that you discuss your child's expressed feelings. Their expressed feelings. Remember, we told you how they express them through those facial expressions, their behavior. They clearly show you how they are feeling, frustration, fear, and disappointment, and emotionally intelligent conversations that you initiate and have with this child, okay? Because if you don't initiate and have these conscious conversations about how your child feels right now, you can't just ignore the fact that you have been pressurizing or forcing or heavily prompting them. You have to own the fact that that experience has not been optimal for your child. You have to own it. You have to realize it. You have to discuss it. And you have to apologize if it was you. And you have to apologize if it was you that sent your kid to the ABA and the ABA is forcing them. Because remember, you are the one who's responsible for this child's experience. And if you are a practitioner and you're there all day, every day with a child who will not do what you said, that means that you are not considering that child's experience. So it's time now. It's time to start considering, consciously considering your child's experience. And that's how you do it, with these three things. It's very simple. The strategies, I always say this on the channel, the strategies are easy, but it's change that's hard. Because remember, you got into these things and you dug in and you went in 150,000% because they worked for you at first. They made the child do things that they weren't previously doing that look more normal or average or developed or whatever that you were going for there. Okay. Now, when he does this, he looks more normal, so I can feel better. I feel when he does this that he's catching up, so I can feel better that what I'm doing is working. But is it really? It's not if your child's stuck in avoidance or dependence on that prompting. Okay, so let's keep going, because of course I have resources for you. So once you, if you don't know how to do all these things, that's where all the information on my YouTube channel is going to help you. And this is the key video. I did this video years ago And it is the number one video that is helping parents change this situation. It's called Swapping the Prompting Challenge. And the link is in the description of this video. And then there are other resources. So this is just where you begin. So let's say your child is older, but I have a caveat to say, this big notice I've got with Red. You have to realize that your child will change. Okay. If your child has been exposed to daily prompting for more than a few weeks, they may actually talk less for a time. Okay. And that happens because your child now is seeing what you're saying as valuable. And when you see that shift in them from spewing out echolalia or just labeling the same things or looking at things and saying tree, car, whatever, you know, and they're not talking about their experience or what's so cool about it or what, you know, all of that stuff. If your child is stuck in those things, right? Then you shift. Now you're not doing those labels anymore. And you're saying, you know, when the child says dog, you say, right, it's a big one. It's so cute. Look at how fluffy it is. Aw, it's eating cereal or it's eating its food with its mommy, or it's really hot in this hot sun with all that hair. So its mommy has to give him some water, right? You give this child more. Instead of saying, it's a dog, what color is it? How much hair does it have? Is it with a person? What is it doing? Right? Do you see the difference between just that one experience? Your child says dog, right? Because remember, when your child does, in your presence, say a thing or do a thing, it's up to you to respond to that. Right? That's what you want from your child, right? When you do something, you want them to respond to you. So this is how we do it. We give them something that they can respond to with their own heart and not a pre-formulated test that there is a right and wrong answer to. What is it when you're both looking at the dog? What color is it when you can clearly see that it's white? How long is the hair? When you see that it's super long and fluffy, more long and fluffy than an average dog. So there's an interesting topic of conversation that you can bring up to talk to this child. Emotionally intelligent conversation. And most parents don't do this, right? Because they don't believe that their children are even listening. And the fact of the matter is, it's true. In a lot of cases, they have shut you down because they have felt shut down by you. So remember, who in their life, if it's not you, is doing this? Because you are seeing the signs of prompt avoidance or prompt dependence. And it's coming from somewhere. And that one influence is what's blocking your child's entire future of spoken language development. It's that serious, folks. If they're stuck in avoidance or dependence, they are not learning independently. They're in fight or flight. They're just trying to do their best. They're just trying to get through the day with less trauma than they know they have previously experienced. So they're doing their best to do it right. And the anxiety grows and grows and grows and grows. And the only thing that decreases that anxiety and gets your kid back in the team, on the, as your partner, trying hard, curious about what you have to say and teach them. The only way you do that is when you stop this prompting, all of it. You can teach without prompting. You can. Your child will learn without prompting. They do. So, as a matter of fact, I want to share with you an example. So notice your child will change. And that's a good sign. And it means your child's listening and learning better speech. Okay? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, or you haven't started, or maybe you're new on the channel, and you haven't signed up for my newsletter, this is really going to help you, because the strategies that I'm talking about today that stop this, this is the most common blockage to a child's spoken language, is this prompting business, okay? When it's happened a lot, and it keeps kids stuck, permanently stuck. They will not come out of it unless you change. And that's the guidance that's in this Get Started guide. So if you have not signed up for my newsletter, do it, this is where you'll see the basic strategies on how to shift prompting into natural spoken language facilitation. It's all right here for you to learn. Okay, now I have a great surprise for you. And this is from Soumya, who I did an interview with, and I've got her interview here for you, a little bit of it, so that you can see how Soumya, who has a 9-year-old child who was stuck in prompt dependence slash avoidance, depending on the environment, right? So at home, he was prompt dependent because his mom was doing a lot of stuff for him. And at therapy, he was prompt avoidant because they were doing things that didn't make sense to the child. Okay. So we're going to show you that. And before we do that, I have to have a ding, ding, ding. We have a new member. PTSI Education Channel is a new member on the channel. And I want to thank you, of course, all of you who are my new members. You know, you can get 20% off of your first month's YouTube membership when you visit this link. It's in the description of this video. It's a special hack that I figured out to get 20 months off the first. And in the membership, not only do you have access to all 800 videos, but they're the most special ones. You have the 3-week virtual autism symptoms challenge is in the training level membership. So you're not going to get this unless you're a member on my channel. And also this one, virtual autism parenting tips. There are literally hundreds of videos, all separated into categories and all the playlists that will show you exactly what you need to do to replace these prompting strategies and get started with natural speech facilitation. Okay.
It was all prompted speech. I read a lot of books, but in between I came across If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. And that was the most convincing book for me. Then in the end of the book, I saw the Waves of Communication YouTube link. And then I clicked on the link and I started doing some research. And the first video that I found was swapping the prompting. And I immediately started doing that. And within 2 days, he started speaking few words on his own. So before that, it was all scripted phrases. And the entire scripted phrases were removed from his vocabulary, and then he started talking on his own. Talking in the sense, just a few words in the beginning, and then it started improving. And now he is talking, but it's all limited speech. He has not come to a long sentence, and he's not continuously talking, but at least he is initiating the conversation. Then his listening skill improved. He started being attentive. When we talk to him, he looks at us. So all those things improved after using the language facilitation.
Okay, so you can see how Soumya saw improvement in days, everybody. And this is not uncommon. This is typical. Parents see, especially if there has been a lot of heavy duty prompting. Okay. So if your child has been in ABA 6 hours a day, 20 hours a week, something like that, you know, or more, even if they've been coming in your house, if you've been adopting these ABA prompting tactics, if you've been educated about how to identify your child's reinforcers and their favorite things and keep them away from the child to use as bribes and prompts, because a lot of times these prompts don't work, you see. They're not going to do it because you say. If you're forcing and having to use these tangible reinforcements, food, toys, tech time, breaks, if your child has to work for a break from the intervention, then the intervention is not appealing to the child, right? Think about your own experience. When you go to a class and the teacher is connected, understands your level of learning and talks straight to you about something that's interesting, the hours go by without realizing. But if the teacher is talking over your head or under your learning level, the same old stuff over and over again, they're boring, they repeat themselves, they expect you to do repeated work even after you've already done and mastered it just because they want to test your ability, you won't sign up for this class, not more than once. You'll go, you'll see what it's like, and you'll say, yeah, I didn't learn very much, but I just went because I got the credit. It went on my, you know, transcript or something like that. That's another reason. But you didn't learn anything from it. Do you want your child's everyday experience? Now they're already late, folks. They're already late in their development. Every day is important. How many more days will you let your child remain stuck in frustration, resistance, avoidance, or dependence because you won't stop making them do things to make you feel better? That's the whole reason this is happening, and that's why it's unconscious. Okay? So that's what I have for you today. I know that this was a really big, important video. I know that people think that it's virtual autism or tech exposure or these kinds of things, ear infections, that are the number one cause for children to be late talking, but that's not true. The number one cause for children to be late talking is they're misdiagnosed as being impaired when only they're behind. That happens first. And then once a child is misdiagnosed, then they are assumed to be impaired and people believe they have to prompt them through life. And so it starts with the misdiagnosis, folks. If people believe that your child is low, regressed, under, unable to develop, instead of just behind due to lack of experience, even in the therapy. Okay, here's another one. If you have spent a year or 6 months or any significant period of time in therapy and your child's skill level, functional skill level, I'm not talking about what they do when they're prompted, but what they do when they're on their own. Can you take them out in public better? Are they encouraging in the world? Or is the gain that you had, I just read this on Facebook, a mom who had her kid in ABA for a year and they potty trained him because they took him every 15 minutes to the bathroom. Now, that's not reality. So they never gave this child a chance to do whatever. And so now they've moved on to other things because he can go every 15 minutes. Done. Tick, 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 tick. They got all the data they need. Potty training's done. But it's not. At home, he's having accidents. He can't go outside. He doesn't know how to go in a new potty. Hasn't been evolved into a functional, independent experience. It works when they take him to the bathroom at that place every 15 minutes because for 6 months, they've been trained in that one environment. And that's it. And they think they're doing a great job. And the mom says, yeah, he wouldn't be potty trained at all without it. But he isn't potty trained at all. You are potty trained. The parents, the caregivers, those therapists are all trained very well to take this kid every 15 minutes. And if he doesn't go every 15 minutes, you could get an accident. So who's the responsibility on to keep this child's bottom clean? His or yours? Because you have given it up. You've taken it away, basically, from the child. You've made him give up the responsibility for independent toileting to you. That's why he's not evolving. That's why it's stuck. Yes, does it work? Did he not wear fewer diapers than he used to? Yeah, but now he's 6 months or a year older and you're having to go buy diapers again. Why does that happen, folks? Because these kids, your idea of progress was created by you or therapists and not your child because they are prompt dependent and or avoidant. And then if you're in that stuck place now, so you could be evolving there. Maybe your child's not so resistant yet because they like those reinforcers, right? They still like going there because they get their favorite candy or they get to watch their videos or they get to see their favorite so-and-so. But are they learning and developing? You would know because they would be talking to you. They would be able to have social skills. They would be able to go and respond because the parents like Soumya, she saw a change immediately and she never looked back, right? Because she saw that these prompting tactics were holding her son back. They were wasting his time. They were wasting their time. And the child didn't make improvement anyway. And the financial, I don't even want to go there, how much money parents are spending on this stuff. Okay? So if you at all believe that your child's been misdiagnosed, which 90% of them have, okay, and put into this therapy because there was nothing else available, that's because you didn't consider yourself as the option. And you are the best option, the best. There's no one else in the world who can help your child develop the spoken language. And I have the resources and everything you need to help you get there. This progress that you're hoping to get is a process, and you're just getting started with your mindset shift. Now you'll be into the behaviors, and then you'll want to advance. You'll want to get your child into having these emotional conversations and teach them the spoken language they need to do that. And then nobody's going to think that your child is low or dumb or behind or anything, because they will share their wisdom with the world. But if you keep them stuck in prompt dependence or avoidance, you'll never see it, moms and dads. You'll never get to see it. And I want you to see it. And your kid has stuff to say. So let's get to this facilitation job. I'm giving it back to you. I'm supporting you. I'm equipping and empowering you. And if you want help, you want to learn about coaching, you want to learn how to do it exactly, just head over to wavesofcommunication.com and investigate all of my information. I've got workshops, coaching, books. Everything's here. It's up to you. Thanks for joining me again today, and I will see you next week for more language facilitation information and Q&A. If you have a question about your child, go ahead and post it in this video. It might be the topic on a future one. I'll see you on the next one then. Bye for now, everybody.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.